Hello, and welcome to The Sound of Economics from Bruegel, the Brussels-based economics policy think tank. We just held an event dealing with digitization and industrial policy for Europe. With me today is Lisa Fuhr, who's the Director General from the European Telecommunications Network Operators Association, or ETNO. And she was here as a speaker. Our topic today is about 5G mobile network services. My first question for Lisa is, this is clearly an important topic for Europe. It's very important to the digitization, to the modernization of European society. How do you think Europe is doing in terms of developing and deploying 5G technology?
Let me first state that I think Europe has all the opportunities to actually be becoming a leader on 5G, and I think we have some very good values. We have some very good technological solutions. We have a lot of opportunities in Europe. But if you look at how you what is needed to become a leader in 5G, we 5G technology is not only a mobile network; it's actually a convergent network of fixed and mobile. And if you look at the numbers there, we need a 500 billion euro investment to actually get 5G in Europe. And part of this is going to go to fiber networks, part of it is going to go to radio access networks, and others are to proximity data centers. And all this is regulated by the European Communication Code. And the code is meant to help us have enhanced investments in Europe, in the telecommunications sector. And the code was adopted last year, and now it is to be implemented in the member states. So you have BEREC, you have the member states looking at how to transition the code into the member states law. And here I see we have some challenges, and I think one of them is the allocation of spectrum and spectrum auctions, where we've seen, and this is not directly related to the code, but it's actually also part of the code, that some member states have started before the transposition, and we have some good auctions. There was one in Finland that went very well, actually left room for the investment that's needed after the auction. And we've seen another one in Italy that didn't go that well. It was very expensive. So there is a risk that the investment is going to be very difficult after the auction. We have an ongoing auction in Germany where we see there are reservations of spectrum. We see there are conditions that might relate to 4G instead of 5G. So there are a lot of things that are tricky with the auctions going on in Germany. And I think there we see the investors are very much following what's going on. And this can, of course, create some issues. Apart from the code, we, of course, need other regulations to help us. This is the service regulation and also the data regulation needs to help us create the services that will run on the 5G networks. And here, Europe has still to actually conclude on a lot of regulation.
Thank you for that. I should probably explain to our listeners, it might sound like raising a lot of money through an auction is a good thing, but that's not really what the auction is about. The reason why auctions were first put in place was to ensure that spectrum would go to whoever valued it most and would therefore use it best. So it's really designed for allocative efficiency. Raising too much money isn't necessarily a good thing. The national government may like it, but in terms of the digitization of the overall society, it's probably a bad thing. Now, I guess moving on, the code contains some other things. One of the expectations with 5G is that there are going to be far more cell sites required than in the past. Small cells, but still sites. Those all have to get wired up, probably with fiber, and they need municipal permitting. So the code actually did have some things that, that could be useful. Do you think it's actually going to do what's needed?
I think the code has some very good directions on small cells, which is extremely helpful and is going to be very, very important. It's, again, how it's going to be implemented in the member states. A lot of it has been moved away from the local communes into a more centralized system, which is good because I believe the state has a better overview of the need for a rollout of 5G and can make an industrial policy into we want 5G and we need you to actually make this happen in the best way by not having too long time for processing any applications for putting up equipment, also renting sites, etc. It needs to be as low cost as possible because, as I'm saying, this 500 billion is actually without the transaction cost. So there are a lot of things that needs to be added on and. We have a huge investment in front of us, but I believe if we actually do this investment, we will help not only the telco industry. This is actually going to have an effect on all other industries in Europe and enhance European competitiveness worldwide.
Well, that's something that we definitely want to do. Let me touch on one of the other barriers. That's one that I know you've thought about. And that's so-called EMF, electromagnetic fields. There's been a lot of public concern over the years over the possible health effects of the use of mobile phones. There's been huge amounts of testing done. It's one of those things where there's no conclusive evidence of harm, but it's also one where it's very hard to disprove that there could never be. You can't prove that there could never be harm, at least not at the current level. So how do we deal with that? The reason why it's a big issue, if I may, is that in many of the member states, especially those in the East, based on their heritage from before the days of the fall of the Iron Curtain, nobody was thinking about this. They tend to have more restrictive kind of levels. But there are also traditional member states like Italy that have restrictive standards. And also right here in Brussels, Belgium, where we're sitting, has a restrictive standard for that. And all of this could make it very difficult to get 5G deployed. What do you think can be done?
Well, our standpoint is we need to believe the scientists here. So we have no other evidence that this is not going to harm humans or animals. So it's from our side. We believe that we should try and discuss it with the member states on a European level. So you actually try to harmonize also the EMF. We think it's an important topic to follow very closely, and we do this also as Aetna. We think we take the reports we get and analyze them, and so from our side, as long as there is no evidence that this is harmful for anyone, we have to believe those scientists because those are the ones that knows the best.
Well, that sounds good to me. Now, as far as getting things deployed, do you see your members as being ready to move quickly on deployment once the right conditions are in place?
I believe our members are actually eager to deploy if they have the right incentives for investment here, because part of the code, you have things like co-investment, was a very good move into trying to incentivize a broader investments. But from our side, the way it was deployed or the way it was carried out in the code is becoming overly complicated. So our point of view has also been that we think we need all the investment models that are available. And we shouldn't favorize one over another, but co-investment was a good way to involve other operators too. But if you make it too complicated, no one is actually going to use it. So I think the simplicity we hope for in the code didn't actually come out in the final result. It was actually more complicated than before.
Well, sorry to hear that, but I guess these things happen. Actually, on the same panel that we were just on a moment ago, Andreas Geis was from the commission, head of unit of the commission, was saying that the commission tried to be ambitious on its proposals. They did. They pushed for as much as they thought they might get, and they didn't get everything they asked for.
And I believe, actually, the commission did a very good job at the first drafting of the code. They had an intention to be pro-investment, to actually simplify the code. But this is a process where you have a trialogue, you have the council coming in, you have the parliament coming in, and then simplicity got lost in the making between the three parties.
Alas. Is there anything else you'd particularly like to flag as an area that policy needs to address now in order to make sure that 5G deployment happens in a timely fashion?
Well, for us, it's key that now the member states are looking into this and trying to implement it in a way that helps. And I think on top of that, we should, as Europe, have an industrial policy that helps us digitizing Europe for the benefit of all the citizens.
Well, thank you so much, Lisa. That brings us to the end of this episode. So thanks to all of you for listening to Bruegel Backstage on the Sound of Economics channel. And thank you very much to my guest, Lisa Fuhr. If you're interested in more of Bruegel's work, we have an array of blog posts and publications available at our website, www.bruegel.org. And I hope that you'll join us again. Until next time, bye-bye.